I'm so glad you're here. I would like to open us in a word of prayer, if I may, and we'll get going. So, Lord, I do thank you for this beautiful Colorado day that you have given us, and blue sky, green grass, usually brown here, and it's just gorgeous outside, Lord. I thank you also for these wonderful ladies that are here and for this conference that we are having, and I pray that everybody's hearts would be blessed and that they would go home refreshed after being here these few days. And uplifted and ready to serve you with more fervor than they've had in the past and rested up. And Lord, I pray that you be with us in this little time that we have together, that we would forgive out those things at home that are distractful for us, and that we would concentrate on your word and the woman behind the man is what we're going to look at today. These things I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, just so you know, we are being recorded.
Yeah.
Everything we say. Do the one thing. Alan, people. Make me behave. Come on in. Find something to come. Well, the title for this sermon, I have struggled with it, is The Woman Behind the Man. And I realized that with the wonderful group of ladies that is here with us this morning, there is nothing that I can't tell you that you don't already know, or you haven't already figured out, or a lady that I could discuss in the Bible that you probably haven't taught yourself. So, just a little stressful there. So, I just simply want to be an encouragement to you in the next 45 minutes or so. And I'm not going to beat up anybody. I pray nobody will beat up. I simply only want to encourage you. And each one of you, I think everybody is here that is married to somebody in ministry, correct? Or do we have any single ladies that are... Okay. Well, I'm sure you ladies are hopeful. It will be coming. So, it is challenging at times. I was going to put up on the screen, but I decided not to. I was afraid it could get political. The women, some of the women behind the men that we are familiar with, I didn't want to get political because some of them are, they're really easy targets. You know, and I didn't want that to be, and then some people that I have honestly, I sound like an idiot even doing this. I have been on Shutterstock, the internet, looking for graphics and images. Anybody got a picture of Jezebel? She is great. She was an awful wicked woman behind her man. But I couldn't find a picture that I even a caricature that I could put up and go, do her justice. And not that she needed any justice. She was an awful wicked woman. She had to be an awful, awful woman. I bet she looked like she acted. But there's Abigail. She was married to a fool, an angry fool, and almost got her and her household killed. And there's Esther. And she was married to a king who was godless. There is Ruth, who eventually became into the line of David. In modern day, Clemmie Churchill. I love Churchill movies. You know, and I know that they are made by Hollywood and they tweak and change things. But when you read about her, she was a very fascinating woman. And Winston Churchill, and this is the kind of woman I would like to be. Winston Churchill confided in Franklin Roosevelt and said, "I tell Clemmie everything." But he knew that what he told her was safe with her. That it would not be repeated anywhere, but she had her insecurities. She was certainly not a perfect person. They both came from aristocratic families, wealthy, but he essentially grew up left alone in boarding schools as a little boy. His parents really didn't have anything to do with him. You know, and he had his eccentricities, but what they accomplished together, you know, they had money problems, you know, but I kind of like to read about Clemmie. I like to watch Winston Churchill movies. And Bennett Jones, I just know her. She was my friend and a confidant. I told her things I couldn't tell anybody else. And I knew it wouldn't go anywhere else. She was a woman behind a very powerful, godly man. And she, the older she got, I felt like the more transparent she became in a very elegant way and godly woman. And just a few weeks ago, Gyla Nelson died. She was 95. Has anybody ever heard her talk? She was very deep South Southern woman, but she had a very low velvet voice. And it was a beautiful voice. I mean, I think she could be yelling at you and it would sound beautiful. You know, and she was always a godly woman. And before we came here, my husband and I, well, he mentioned last night that we were in Milwaukee, actually for about 5 years with David Barba, the start of the church at Falls Baptist. And when Les had invited into David, we were going to come out here. My husband was going to be assistant. He looked at us both across the desk, and then he said, "Well, Starry, how are you going to fill Mrs. Nelson's shoes?" I said, "I just can't. I can't fill her shoes. I just have to be my ugly self." You know? So, but it's still good to look at these women. I think the godly women, that they a mentor. Sometimes we need a good godly mentor or somebody that we can look up to, because the world is ready to give us a lot of not good mentors, ungodly. And I'm going to sound like I'm really old, but I can't believe how our world has become so upside down from what it has been. Even 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I feel like every day is like Halloween when I leave my house, you know. And but anyway, and the list of these women goes on. But I want to talk about we are unique women behind our man, behind the man. Ministry wives have in common that they have a significant and challenging God-given opportunity to have influence for Christ in a church and in their surrounding community. We are influencers. You know, and we'll talk about that as we go through here. Each one of you, no matter how insignificant you may feel that you are at times, behind the man. I am the quiet person who's behind the man, because my husband isn't. He's an outgoing person. He doesn't know a stranger. I'm just an introvert, you know. But we are all influencers, even when we are the quiet person. If you happen to be one of those quiet persons, we are still all influencing people. The step into the role of a minister's wife with all of its conflicting expectations and ministry stress, ministry wives need a special grace and wisdom from the Lord that only the Lord can give. You can't get it from the media. You can't get it from TV. You can't get it from Facebook. You know, and the Lord says we should keep our heart protected. We should protect our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. And I call it the stuff of life. The good stuff, the ugly stuff, the stuff that if we're not careful, it'll just ooze out of our mouth in a moment of weakness. And so I think that I would encourage us today just to remember to set some boundaries around our heart. I'm not talking about being legalistic. I'm talking about just common sense, godly woman boundaries around our life, around our heart. The Bible has a lot to say about pastors, pastors' wives per se, such as Elizabeth. She mentored Mary. They were related, but she did mentor Mary. And Priscilla in the New Testament house churches. They were godly women who were influencers. And then I like to encourage you to remember that you are uniquely you. There is not another one of you around. You know, you are unique. Your DNA is unique. Our daughter just got me for Mother's Day one of those 23andMe. And I didn't want to get forward after I sent it in. I thought, what if this is the $99 version or this is the $199 version, you know? And finally I got the nerve and I asked her, "Amanda, which one is it?" She goes, "Mom, I spent the $200 because I know whatever you got, I got." And then I thought, I come back with that. Come on in, hon, you're fine. We got women with babies in here.
Okay.
Come on in. Make yourself at home. So I thought, if I come back with that Alzheimer's gene, nobody's going to hear a zip from me. I'm going to say anything. But it did have some stuff to say that we already knew. My family had been watching for more than one knows, not my notes. And I'm not trying to plug into anything new, but it was really interesting to find out what you don't know about yourself. And my family, for five generations, if you are connected to my mom's dad, his mom, her mom, five generations, I'm fifth generation, nobody dies without diabetes. And I don't care if you're the fat ones, the skinny ones. Before we all die, they all get diabetes. And so I'll talk to this aunt and, you know, I'm not this cousin, my cousin, you know, it's like, you know what they said? In the next 1 to 10 years, you're going to have diabetes. Your genes. I thought I was only found for $200. I wish I was a rich woman. I'd have the rest of my genes looked at. So, but anyway, there's a whole lot more that they have. But anyway, to find out who you really are, what you got lurking in the background. So, okay, let me go back. You are unique. I'm sorry, that's where we came down with that. Recognize that God made you distinctly beautiful. He knit you in your mother's womb. Yeah. He made you special for His glory. He loved you. He made you just the way He wanted you to be. And often, I fight that. That's not who I wanted to be. I don't have the spiritual gift that I want. But if you take enough tests, you will come up with the gift that you want. That's what I've done. There are a lot of spiritual gift tests. You just keep taking them. So God made you beautiful, and He made you very distinct. Your identity is not 1,000% in the man that you are behind, but as a Christ follower. We should be realize that Christ created us to be valuable in His sight, and it is Him that we want to honor and glorify. At the end of the day, at the end of my life, I don't want to have to look back and think, I should not have done that. I have hurt my testimony. We are influencers, and we are unique. Remember that you are created in the image of God. God saw what He had made, and He had said it is very good over and over in Genesis. And then, we'll see later on, He called you, us, a good thing. Maybe there was another word to put with good other than thing in the Greek or the Hebrew. You are indispensable to your companion, to your husband, to others, to the woman behind the man. You're indispensable. The Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helpmeet suitable for him. So, that's another whole conversation in itself with our unique giftedness that the Lord has given us. To put a priority, we have a priority to nurture and guide our children. We have some moms in here that got little babies, some younger women with small, young children. I'm on the other side. And I love being a mother to my family and my children. I mean, my kids are now grown. And it's much harder when they're grown.
Yeah.
You can't pick them up. You think you're having a wonderful conversation with your child, and I thought we're just having a volley, and all of a sudden they get upset like they think I'm telling them what to do. I'm like, why are you just talking? I wasn't telling you nothing. But I am blessed with two grown, very grown kids, and it is wonderful. And who knew that maybe someday that you might be growing up your best friend, you know, to be like you. You're capable of great and diverse accomplishments in and outside of the home. Proverbs 31, that mysterious woman that I finally found out who she was. You know, and then I thought, well, I don't stand a chance. She was queen, married to a king with all the servants she had, you know. But it was good wisdom that she was giving her son, Solomon. Godly wife is priceless. You can't buy a wife. You know, you just can't go buy a person. You're priceless. Your price is far above rubies. Her husband has every reason to have complete confidence in her as his partner because each day she brings him good and not harm. With her hands, she makes beautiful things. She works diligently for the good of her husband and her family. In the community, she is known for her kindness and wisdom. She handles money well and is very capable in business now. Handling money well probably is a challenge for me, but I do give it a whirl. Okay. That is a matter of perspective. You know, I think I'm doing pretty good. I think I'm really frugal and tight with money, and my husband thinks I spend all his money. Let's see, her heart, her arms and her heart are open to the poor and needy, and she does not neglect her own family. She is strong. This is kind of cute. She's strong, elegant, and happy. You can get all that together. In all that she says and does, and brings honor to the Lord. Of course, that's paraphrased. The heart of her husband does trust in her. And I've always wanted my husband to trust in me. And if he tells me something, I don't want to know everything that's going on in everybody else's life. After a while, I've learned, it's just too serious, too sensitive, too whatever. But whenever he does confide in me, I try to make sure that I am the one that doesn't repeat it. He'll say, down the road, he'll say, did you know so-and-so said so-and-so and so-and-so was supposed to be confidential? And I'll say, I haven't told Saul. I haven't even told her daughter. I haven't even told my Dead Sea. Does everybody have a Dead Sea in here? Do you know what the Dead Sea is? You know what the Dead Sea is in Israel. All the water goes in, all the minerals go out, it doesn't come. Goes into the river, but it never goes out. So it's rich in minerals. So every lady, I have come to the conclusion, especially in ministry, needs a Dead Sea. That has been my mother, my aunt, and it's my daughter now who's 40. Because I know that Dead Sea, no matter what I tell them, my hurts, what's going on in my life, that I can tell nobody else. I can talk to my Dead Sea, and it will go no farther. It will just stay there. So that's what I call my Dead Sea. My mom's now 80. In the ministry, she will pass. Now, I haven't matured enough that I'll have to go tell her and babble everything. It's not that. But everybody needs somebody that they can talk to and confide in. Somebody, something with skin on it that you can talk to and share your burden. And it's often not recommended to be a person in church. Mm-hmm. You love them to pieces. They don't want anything you wouldn't do for them. But they can get their nose out of joint, leave you, and go somewhere else to another church, and then tell somebody else. And as my grandmother, I lived with my grandparents for 5 years growing up, and my grandmother said, anything you want to be a secret, don't tell anybody, and don't write it down. Because if you write it down, somebody's going to find that piece of paper. That's why I don't journal that much. Yes. You know? Yeah. And my journal, when I did, it was very generic, because it's like a diary. Mm-hmm. Somebody can get it, and you're in trouble. But anyway, more you want to know about Dead Sea. That's not even in my notes. I'm meandering now. The heart of the husband has trust in her. And so I do have a little bit of a Dead Sea in my life. We are given special gifts by God. And those are gifts and talents. And if you just keep taking them those tests, you will get the gift that you really wanted. I always wanted the teaching gift. I got the ruling gift. I got that. That's just doesn't work. Okay. So recognize we all have different gifts and different talents. And then when it comes to talents, you know, how many piano players we have in here? Any piano players? Singers, sing in church. Solo? Hey, me. I sing with the group. I only play my piano at home with the doors and the windows closed. Regardless of how hot it is, because nobody would want me to play. But anyway, you are God's masterpiece. And he created us anew in Christ so that we could do good things that he planned for us long ago. Ephesians 2:10. And then in this potpourri of a discussion that we have about us women, the women behind our man, I love the verse where God says to Moses, what is that in your hand? What was it? It was a staff. I don't have staff. But God used his staff. So what does God have in your hand that you could be using for his glory? Just because we're the women behind the men doesn't mean we can't do anything for the Lord. I just think there's nothing I could do. All I can do is type. My mother made sure when I went through high school, I got out, I could type, because back then, if you could type, you could get a job. You're guaranteed to get a job. And okay, I took typing. I went to Bob Jones and took typing. So now it's true. I always had a job. I could always get work going to college, outside of college, because I could type. I could answer the phone, and can you type? Well, now that's moved over to all things wonderful. I used to think, what a nice to have a typewriter that could fix your mistakes. Yeah, I'm so glad the world let me live long enough to see. Back then, they came up with typewriters. They had cartridges. They had magnetic tape and all this stuff. And now we have computers. It's like high tech. And I just love it. But my mother was right. If you can type star, you can get a job. But it's like, what is that in your hand? I work here, and I'm on the computer all the time. I work on the website. I work on this, that, and the other. But it's what is in your hand. I mean, it can be, can you make pies? People love pies. You can take something to your neighbor. I'm not trying to trivialize what's in our hand, but you can knit a scarf. You can crochet something. There is so much that the Lord has given us right there. It's just, I think, sometimes we think, well, I can't do anything. I won't sing. I'll pray in public. I don't do this, that, and the other. But there's so much that we can do for the glory of God. What you think about what He has given you, what is in your hand. Bless you. We are called to respect our husband in Ephesians 5-22. He talks about, I think it's such a process. The husband is told that he needs to love his wife. To me, that was always an odd verse. Who would think you need to tell your husband to love you? Mm-hmm. And then she must respect, that she should respect her husband in one verse. You know, so it is a process. It's not a one and done. It's not what I said I do. He's going to love me for the rest of my life. Yes, he is. But it's a different kind of love. And it's not always easy to respect somebody, because we as a family are a coalition of sinners under one roof. And it causes a lot of family dynamics. It's not always easy, even when the kids are grown and gone. You know? So God calls us to be examples of, He calls us to be godly women. And as we mentioned a while ago, that we are to be influencers. I'm going to fly right through this. We're going to have some time to visit. Only had 4 or 5 pages of notes. Slow down. And then maybe we can have some discussion. I have some survival tips for you ladies, if I may be so bold. God brings challenges to our lives, not to hurt us, but to grow us. As Steve Pettit mentioned last night in his sermon, that we grow in our faith through suffering, and that's not an easy pill to swallow. Because we all tend to run from suffering. We have insurance policies. We have doctors. We're very blessed in the United States. There's doctor's care, you know. Can't wait till Monday morning. Well, we can go somewhere on the weekend. You're going to pay for it, dearly, but you can go. Sometimes God sends us on field trips. You ever had those? Spiritual field trips, unplanned events, surgery, hospital stay, baby cancer. Or the death of a child. The lifelong field trip of grief. Our son died. He was 3 months old. And I used to always be afraid of people who were grieving. I thought when we first got ministry, people scared me the most was the ones who were grieving. And when I went through that, I thought I feel more comfortable with them. That I'm not grieving. Or, I don't know, field trip you get. Anybody in here ever had a speeding ticket? Yeah. With a lady from church sitting next to you? On the way to Wyoming to speak to a lady's friend. So God has got a great sense of humor. And I got to town, I found out we went through a speed trap. Because there was not any, no signs saying what the speed limit was. I knew it wasn't the Wyoming Audubon. Anyway, so we all go on these field trips that God takes us through to grow our faith and to get us to think. Sometimes we go through loneliness and isolation. Maybe you don't, but I do. I can be in a sea of people at church and I'm lonely, and I feel isolated. You know, not all the time, but it does happen. Not to my husband, never. Well, God can use these times of loneliness that I have found in isolation to speak to us. I have to be careful because Satan can get a toehold, you know, because you become isolated. Sometimes I find I need to get up and get moving. You know, if it's on the weekend, I got to get out of my leggings and put on some not pajama clothes and get moving, get out of the house. These may seem overly simplified, but I think I have found that they do help me. Put your phone down, get off the internet, give it a break. My daughter tells her kids, she's got four kids, they're 11 to 17. you can only have 10 minutes on your SEDS. They have to be in the kitchen at the counter at the island. SEDS, do you know what that is? It's stupid electronic device. So we need to get off our SEDs sometime. And that's what they call them. And as I said, it's wonderful if the Lord would allow you to find a woman who could be your Dead Sea if you need somebody to talk to, somebody with skin on it. And then it doesn't hurt to pray, Lord, could she be my size? When we first moved here, I didn't have any friends, and I specifically prayed because I was lonely. And after we left Milwaukee, I thought, I'll never let my heart get attached to anybody in another church dead, because I felt like we left our family in Milwaukee in a church where everybody was first generation German and said that I talked like the foreigner. They became really, really close. And when I came here, I thought, oh, I can never get close to anybody here. But Lord, I'm lonely. And I remember I specifically did pray, could you give me a friend? And could she be my size? And I went on a ladies retreat. And sure enough, there was a lady in the back seat. I never met her in my life. A lady at a church, I led her to the Lord. And she was just babbling on about the Catholic this, and she goes to Catholic church that. A lady, the lady in the car had led her to the Lord and discipled her. And that lady became a very close friend. She stayed in the Catholic church because her husband wasn't ready to leave. And she went to ladies BSF groups and got very mentored in the Lord. And you know what? She was my thigh. She was a close friend for 14 or 15 years, just a really, really close friend. So God can meet your need if you just ask Him, you know, for something as wonderful as a godly friend. And she was a very godly woman. But I remember thinking, oh, I just want to go on this ladies' retreat and just have a good time. I didn't want to have to witness. But I didn't have to. She knew the Lord. She was truly born again. So sometimes we need to do something different with our life. We need to have a distraction. And ministry is, I love ministry, but it is very intense. It can wear you out emotionally. It can make you tired physically. And you have to keep going. And there's sometimes I've told my husband I love the ministry, but every now and then I feel like it's a little abusive. People wouldn't talk to their other family the way they talk to you, or the expectations they put on you, or the pastor's wife, but they put you way high on the pedestal, but their wife is not on the pedestal, or neither are their kids, but your kids are. And I'm not being mean or critical, I'm just being realistic here. So I said, so he said, you know, you're right. I think you're absolutely right. It does get abusive in here, you know. So I'm saying sometimes we need a distraction. And maybe what I finally got to do as a distraction won't work for you. I started taking a paint class. I wanted to take an oil painting class. I had a hard time finding out where to go. Certainly can't go to university or college because I'm not that kind of caliber. I'll never be that kind of caliber artist. But there was a lady in the church here, and she taught three Hobby Lobbies for 28 years. Mm-hmm. And she was in Germany. And she has commissioned artwork at Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. And so I went there for 4 years until she died.
Wow.
But I tell you what, I just went there. It was the greatest distraction. Now, my husband's distractions were on his Harley. So, you know, you got to keep your focus or you're going to get run over a hill. But not painting. And I just felt like it was just me and these people in there. And I was very intimidated by it, but I really enjoyed it. And so I continued to paint with the ladies. Hobby Lobby lets us meet and paint. We don't charge us anything. We go in the room and paint on Tuesday nights. And they had a great appreciation for Holly. But fiber art, knitting, crocheting, these are things you can do at home alone. But it's also nice to get amongst other people, you know. And painting was wonderful. But then the lady came to my house from church, and she goes, oh, that's so pretty. I want to do that. That's okay. Come on with me. So she came and said, but I thought, okay, now my distraction is no longer a distraction because I got the not that I had anything to hide. I just was trying to have a little escape. So I think it's good if we can find whatever little escape we have, whether it's once a week soaking in the tub with a candle and a magazine and some chocolate. And it's while we're stuck in the tub. That is still an escape. You know, we just need something to get us distracted a little bit because it gets really hot and intense at times in the ministry. And it gets very emotional because you expect these people who are Christians to behave better than what they are, and they're behaving not like what God would want her to be. Yep. So that's just an idea. And what's nice is what you can learn now with knitting and crocheting with YouTube. Goodness gracious. And you can, a few clicks, you can be shopping at a yarn store in Ireland and you haven't left the couch here. So, those are just some of the things that I have done, that may or may not work for you. But, I just think that we should remember that we are unique and, we are similar, but we are different. Our ministries. Some people here may be, are we chaplain's wives in here today? Okay. We're similar, but we're different. I'm in a church and you're in a chaplaincy, but still you're dealing with people. The human heart. I have come to the conclusion that we are an influencer. So what is the term, another one word term without looking on your phone for an influencer?
A leader.
Mentor.
A leader, a mentor. You have an effect on people. And whether you realize it or not, you are an influence. You are having an effect on people, whether it's your testimony. And that people are watching you, these women, especially the women in church are watching you, and not to freak you out, but they are. The woman who came up to me, I was just stunned. She says, we're being recorded. She said, I bet you wear silk panties, don't you?
Oh.
I wear the finest underwear that Walmart offers. I was so shocked. I haven't got over that one yet. And that happened 5 years ago in this building. And people are curious. And then there was another family left our church to move to Oklahoma. And the husband came to me and he said, because we're from the last location, he says, you know, I saw you get cut off in traffic. I had no idea. And he said, you didn't lose it. You didn't shake your fist. You didn't do any of that stuff. He said, I'd have been all in that other car's business. And I said, I just was driving home probably, you know, but people, you never know. And not to freak you out because it would drive you crazy. Not to OCD on it, but people are watching. You know, I didn't even know that guy was around when I got caught off by somebody, by a stranger. Just chew on those things for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not go the other extreme and go to Victoria's Secret to take care of my problem. I don't even know if they sell silk. either. I've never heard of those. I've never heard of them. I don't know where she came up with that. So I think it's just limited in yourself, you know, and don't. My other is, I don't like to let people put my God in a small box, and I don't want to put my God in a small box because He is an awesome God. I'd like to encourage you to remember who you are. You're a daughter of God. The woman, you. The woman behind the man. Stay in God's word. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it comes the stuff of life. Whatever your stuff is, might be different than my stuff. But we're pretty similar women. After a while, all your hormones are going to go away. I don't know where they went. My eyebrows, I lost them. I don't know where they are. So, stay in God's word. Stay in prayer. Keep your heart with all diligence. Hard thing. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep the heart of your husband. Keep the heart of your children, young or older, home or gone. Take care of your body, for it's God's temple. The Holy Spirit is with you. And it's hard to do. It's hard to lose weight. I can lose it every now and then, but it always comes back. It is so hard to get the scales to go the other way. The Holy Spirit is with you always. So people are uncomfortable talking about the Holy Spirit, but I really come to appreciate Him. Yeah. I am never alone, and that is why. Mm-hmm. Your husband's out of town, and you find a dead baby in your house. One lady wrote to me, she said in the car, she goes, I have no idea what God's purpose was for you to be home alone. Well, our two children were there. My husband was at IBC studying a class. And why God would allow you to be home alone to find your baby passed away. I don't know. Except I really wasn't alone. So remember, the Holy Spirit is with you, and He is with you all the time. Remember, you are your husband's good thing. You're putting the southern vernacular. You're a good thing. You're a very, very good thing. And I'm sure He loves you and wants your best. I'm sure your husband appreciates you. We just going through this stuff of life makes it very, very challenging. I can imagine the stories you could tell us ladies right now of the odd things people have come up and said to you. It's not unique to me.